Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. To be able to wake on such a wonderful morning, to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. We oftentimes think about that life that we will have on the other side. Whether it is eternal heaven or eternal hell, we think of that time. And if you are satisfied with the way that you are living, whether it's in Christ or out of Christ, then whatever that destiny is, that is what you are looking forward to. I believe Brother Brian said this morning the joy or the pleasure of sin. Many times that is why people are out there in the world, because of the pleasure of sin, enjoying that life that brings joy unto them. We're going to look at the topic of the condition of the erring on this morning. The condition of the erring. For I feel as though that there are people that really do not understand what they're doing. I didn't say they didn't know. I said they didn't understand. And some will say, well, what's the difference? Well, it's like a child that reaches out to touch a heater. I know some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but some others do. That object, that item that keeps the house warm, called a heater. Some of y'all, central air and heat, don't know anything about it, but when we were brought up and you would reach and you would touch that heater was hot. And mom, dad, sister, brother, or somebody would say, do not touch that. And you didn't fully understand why, but you knew that you was not supposed to touch it until that day where you touched the part that was really, really hot. And you began to holler. And not only did you holler from touching that heater, but you also hollered from getting that spanking. Because I told you not to touch it. And some would say that's double jeopardy. No, it is not. You get what you get. And as they say in school nowadays, don't throw a fit. The condition of the erring would cause people to get what they get. And there's no use of complaining about it. The only thing that should be done is that those things should be corrected. They should be corrected. This is a simple lesson. And I say simple because all that are children of God should understand. And those that are able to comprehend right from wrong, whether you are in Christ or out of Christ, you should understand as well. The condition of the erring, we find as the scripture reference was read from Galatians chapter 6. A person that is a child of God, from time to time, participate in things that are displeasing to God. And there are those that see them doing those things and have a tendency from time to time is to turn their heads the other way. I believe that we need to pay closer attention to our brothers and to our sisters. We need to get more involved in their lives, and when there is something that is out of place, we should help them to get it back in place. As Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, In chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Now, let's look at this again, because I believe that we like hearsay better than being there. What am I saying? I'm saying, "What's that? You want to turn the light off? Okay. I turn the light off. Is that better? Okay. All right." Hearsay better than being there. Did you know what Sister Sally did? Oh yeah, you know. Who told you? Brother Billy told him. Was Brother Billy there? Brother Billy was right there, but what Brother Billy failed to do, why? Because he wasn't spiritual. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. So therefore, Brother Billy went told Brother Thanopoulos about what Sister Sally was doing. Paul was very clear as he wrote this. "Brothers, if anyone is caught," if anyone is caught, not what you have heard, because if you come to me and tell me that such and such told you, I'm going to tell you to tell such and such to come and talk to me. His problem is not with you. His problem is with me. What did he see me doing, and who did he see me doing it with? I want to know. And what I want to know is, why did he not come to me when he seen me doing those things, knowing that I was in the wrong? You know, I believe that we are afraid to talk to people about sin. He is supposed to be a Christian. He or she has been a Christian longer than I have. He or she should know better. Yes, I agree 100% that he or she should know better. But we all make mistakes. We all commit sin. We all need help from time to time. And that's why Paul, again, he says, "If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness." You be careful, because older Christians can stray just as younger Christians do. Mature Christians, we will think that nothing should be able to shake them, but there are some things that will. And again, when you catch that brother, not that you're looking, but when you catch that brother or that sister in sin, you are spiritual. Don't lose your spirituality. You go to them and you talk to them and you encourage them to come away from those things that are leading them further and further away from God. We all need help. We all need help. In the book of Isaiah 53, in the verse is 6. Isaiah 53 and the verse is 6. Isaiah describes us as, or them as, sheep that have gone astray. Sheep without a shepherd to pay any attention to them, but their shepherd is there. He says in Isaiah chapter 53, and the verse is 6. Isaiah 53 and the verse is 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned. We have turned. Everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah is talking to his people right here. We're all like sheep gone astray. You know how to get back to the corral. You know which way to go in order to be in the good graces of God. But you've turned from that way. Gone your own way, doing your own thing. Jesus had to come to this earth because of this very fact right here. This idea of a people not tending to their faithfulness unto God, not holding on to their righteousness, but have turned away. So therefore, Jesus had to come to this earth and to be crucified, to be buried and raised up on the third day so that we may have a right to the tree of life. Isaiah wasn't afraid to tell them their condition. But we find today that, again, we are afraid. Why? Because we are ashamed. We need not be the one, not afraid nor ashamed. We need to be remorseful. We need to be sorrowful. And we need to come to God and we need to ask Him to forgive us for our sins. But again, somebody need to point those sins out to us. Or are you that person that's willing to do so? To tell someone else that their life is not right. To tell them that we're in a bad fix. Yes, we're in this automobile and we know that it doesn't belong to either one of us. But here we are riding down the road doing whatever we want to do. Somebody needs to say, stop. Let's get out. Let's get out. Another person say, no, let's take it back where we got it from. I don't know. What you going to do? Fingerprints are already there. But because of the fact of sin, men are going in the wrong direction. The condition of the erring. The condition of the erring. A disciple who has lost his saltiness. I remember when he was preaching God's word. I remember when he was a teacher. I remember when people wanted to follow him. What happened? Matthew chapter 5 and the verse is 13. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse is 13. What happened? You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall this saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the people's feet. Pass me the salt shaker. You know, have you ever seen that person or been to dinner with that person? I don't care how good the cook is. Soon as they sit down, they get their plate fixed, they say, pass me the salt shaker. There they go. There they go. Give them some salt that has no taste. Now, I want to show you how people really are. Give them some salt that has no taste. They don't know the difference. Because they're gotten into the habit of always asking for that salt shaker. People do not know the difference in our lives because they have not really known what truth is all about. We have to understand that we know ourselves not better than God, but we know ourselves better than the next man. We know when we have lost our taste. We know when we are not doing what is right. Now, somebody else may know as well, but we know better than that person. And when that person comes to us and tells us that we are doing something that is wrong, we should agree with them and say, yes, you're right. And I thank you for bringing it to my attention because I thought I was getting away with something. I thought I was getting away with something. Let's continue. They are reading in Matthew chapter 5 about the salt. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You ever changed a light bulb before? What is one of the things, the first things that somebody does when they change a light bulb when they didn't see that light go out? They unscrew that light. I may be the only one now. Y'all just keep looking at me with those blank faces, and they shake it. Why? Why do you shake it, Brother Glenn? The light is out. You want to make sure that it's out, right? Sometimes you shake it and you put it back in and it comes on. You got something then, don't you? Keep a look at that light, though, because that light is on its way out. You might as well go ahead and change it because you're going to have to come back and change it later, especially if you had to climb up on a ladder. Look what the word says. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. But if you have lost your saltiness, if your light has gone out, somebody needs to tell you. Somebody needs to let you know. Because you are in a condition where you are not able to help not only others, but you're not even in a condition to help yourself. And we need help. We need to understand better what God wants us to do. We need to look at our condition and we need to make that change that is necessary in order for us to be able to do the good works, that men may be able to glorify our Father who is in heaven. The condition of the erring. A disciple whose light is gone out. We just looked at that and talked about it, like the salt. Unprepared to enter heaven. Unprepared to enter heaven. When there is a tornado coming, when there is a flood coming, we prepare. We prepare. Not like those that prepared when the year of 2000 was coming on. They prepared just in case the world was coming to an end. They prepared to go into shelters. They got all this water. They got all this food to take down with them. If the world is coming to an end, why do you need those things? Why prepare in that manner? The way that a person needs to be preparing is that they may be able to meet Christ in the air. Get your life in order. Let them go and clear the shelves. All the bread, all the milk, all the eggs, whatever. Let them clear those things out. And what you do is you cleanse your life of sin. Because your condition may not be right. And you need to get it right. Wouldn't it be great if we had that warning that tomorrow is going to be the last day that this earth will be here? Wouldn't it be great if we got that warning? What would we be doing right now? Hopefully we'll be right here, worshiping God, doing what is right before Him. Maybe you don't need to be here. Maybe you need to be going and finding that person that you need to get your life right with. Do those things that will bring pleasure to your life. Do those things that would bring glory unto the Father. Do those things that would cause to be said to you, enter in, my good and faithful servant, in the very end. We find here in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. Unprepared to meet the bridegroom. There were five that was wise and there were five that were foolish. The five that were wise, they were wise enough to let the foolish ones know, I have mine. You had an opportunity to get yours, but you didn't. Go and get what you need. Because if I give you mine, then I may not have enough. My lamp may go out. See, we need to understand that when we share God's word, we're sharing God's word. That means that we still have some for ourselves. We're still doing what we're supposed to do, but we're willing to help out the next man. And that's not saying anything bad about the five wise virgins here. That it says something good about them. Because what I share with you is not going to reflect on what I have, because I am going to still keep my sanity. I am still going to keep my balance along with what God wants me to do. But the five foolish, they did not even have enough. They did not have enough knowledge to know that the bridegroom could come anytime. Anytime. So they went to the marketplace to buy more, and while they were gone, here he comes. Here you come. Are we doing what we're supposed to be able to hear that command in the end, enter in, my good and faithful servant? Or are we not doing what we're supposed to hear, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I know you're not. It's a choice that we need to make. He says there in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The day nor the hour. But we have so many that have predicted the day, and their predictions have been wrong. I believe that when men began to predict when Jesus is coming back, and their prediction fails, that they give up on God. Really, they have never been following him, because the Bible says we don't know. So who were they following? Who have they been trying to please? Only self. Only self. The condition of the erring. They're unprofitable. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, starting with the 14th verse, one that has been giving something, but yet have not been using it. The parable of the talent. What has God given you that you have not been using? What have you gleaned from His Word that you have not been sharing with others? If you do not share it, you know, the old saying is, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Yes, we talk about purging out of our closets. Yes, we talk about purging out of our garages, out of our storage sheds. We talk about doing those things, but we never do it. We never do it. We need to do something with the things in which we have that God may be pleased. God may be pleased. I remember a man that was cleaning out his video cabinet. He thought that he had found God. God has never been lost. He was cleaning out his video cabinet, and he said, I'm going to put these things out, and I'm going to put them right on top so that the trash man can get them. And he don't have to rummage through my trash. It was pornography. I said, don't do that. Destroy them. Destroy them. Because when we do not do right by the wrong things that we have, we're not going to do right by the right things that we have. And that is what the man that was given one talent. He didn't do right by the one thing that he had, so therefore, he didn't need more. And it was taken from him. Have you lost anything lately that you thought that was useful? And you lost it? You can't find it? Haven't used it in a long time, and now I'm looking for it. And there is nowhere to be found. And here come somebody down the road with something that looks like yours. And you try to approach them and ask them about it. And they say, no, it's not yours. I purchased this item legally. And they tell you where they purchased it from. And then you go back and you think and you think and you think. And you say, well, I never really used it anyway, so therefore I didn't need it. What we need to be doing is we need to be praying to God that all that God has given us, that we may be able to use it for His kingdom. Do not be unprofitable. Do not do what is wrong, but do the things that are right. Why does he get to do so much? Why do I not get to do anything? Because you never wanted to do anything. You don't know how to do the things that are right before God. So now you need to just pay attention to what everybody else is doing. And hopefully you will begin to do those things. You will get a chance to do those things before it is too late. You are actually lost. You are lost. The condition of the erring. The condition of the erring. Unfruitful branch to be burned. Unfruitful. A branch that needs to be cut off and thrown into the fire. Am I going to get another chance? I couldn't tell you. I can't give you that answer. Whether or not you're going to get another chance or not. Use the chance that you have right now. Brother Brian, read that for us. John 15, 6.
15 and verse 6. And read, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
If you do not abide in Christ, you're unfruitful. You're cast into the fire and you're burned. Can I get one more chance? After death, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You've had all the chances that God wanted to give you, and you just did away with all of them. Just one more. One more. After death, there's no more. The only thing remains is the judgment. These individuals right here in John 15, their chances has ended. Cast into the fire. Cast into the fire. The condition of the area. They're lost, not just here upon this earth, but they're lost throughout all eternity if they have not gotten their lives right. We need to think about it. Acts 8, 21 through 23, as Simon the sorcerer thought that he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. When men think that they can put so much money into the collection plate and they don't have to do anything else, they're in the gall of bitterness. Oh, God has to let me into heaven now. I've given every single Sunday. I gave more than the next man. Maybe the next man didn't have anything to give, and you should have been given more than the next man. But Peter tells Simon the sorcerer, may your money perish with you. You're in the gall of bitterness. May your money perish with you. How many people do you know that think that God owes them? How many people do you know like that? There's a lot of them out there in the world. It's shame to say that we have some in the church that think that God owes them. Simon, again, a new convert, which shows me and tells me and should tell you the same, that even new converts need to be corrected. Some people say, oh, leave them alone. They don't understand. You know why they don't understand? Because they have not been taught. When they mess up, teach them that they're messing up. Oh, let them grow just a little bit more. They're not going to grow if you don't tell them that they're wrong. Simon, Peter didn't have a problem with telling Simon, may your money perish with you. For you thought that you could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have the attitude of Simon. Pray for me that these things may not happen to me. So we need to teach new converts that no matter how long you've been a child of God, if you are sinning, you need to cease to do so. You need to cleanse your thoughts of God is going to overlook this because I'm a new convert. I have just become a Christian. It's just like saying, well, I'm a Christian now, and I'm going to go out here and I'm going to kill somebody, and God is going to forgive me because I'm just a new convert. No way. No way. You cannot commit a sin and think that God is pleased with you. The condition of the erring. Condition of the erring. The erring is in danger of the second death, according to James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. In danger of the second death. You know, when you hear that word danger, what comes to mind? You know, to teach our little children stranger danger. See somebody they don't know and that person approach them, they're taught to start yelling, stranger danger. And somebody should know what is going on and they should come to that child's aid. Well, being in danger of the second death, somebody should come to your aid and let you know what's going on to help you out, to keep you from losing your soul. What does the scripture say? In James chapter 5, verse 19. My brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I tell you, we can't do it on our own. There's so many people that you go and talk to that you know that they are lost, and they know that they're lost, and here's what they say. I'm working on it. When you coming back? Oh, as soon as I fix these things, I'm coming back. We need to help them fix them. We need to help them. We need to let them know that God is interested in their soul. Yes, the devil's interested as well, but God is interested in their souls. And we need to know that we have a responsibility again, as James says, if any among you wanders from the truth, that means that we're looking. That means that we know that this person is going in the wrong direction. And we need to help them out. We need to bring them back. He says, if someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death. There could be two people that could be wrong right here. One that is wandering and one that sees the wanderer and does nothing. What are you doing? Do you fall into one of those categories? Are you wandering? And are you waiting for someone to come and to bring you back? Well, you're guilty if so. If you're waiting on someone to come and bring you back, shame on you. Come back on your own. You know the way. There was a sister that said, you know, how do I come back? How do I come back? And you tell them how to come back, and they're still out there in the world. They don't really want to know the truth. They want to do what they're supposed to do. But you've done your job by telling them, by trying to help them come back. They're still in danger. And we still have some responsibility to them. And hopefully they will wake up before it is too late. But for that person that lived that life of sin, for that person that has gone back out there into the world, sometimes it's hard for them to come back. Because Satan has such a grip on them, and they're not even trying to resist. They're just saying, instead of Lord, have your way, there says Satan, have your way. I'm yours. You've got me. You know, well, there's nothing I can do. There's a lot you can do. But what does Peter say about this person that has gone back out there into the world? In 2 Peter chapter 2, what does Peter say about this person? 2 Peter chapter 2. And the verse is 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 20. He says, for if after they have escaped the defilements of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. The last state. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. You ever heard that person that tell you, don't tell me what the truth is all about because I'm going to continue to do these things wrong? They don't want to become children of God because they know that they have a desire to stay out there in the world. Peter says, for the man that has known the truth and gone back, it would have been better for him not to have known. So those people that are saying, I don't really want to become a Christian because I know that this is the life I want to live. Sometimes, you know what we have to do? We just have to leave them alone. Let them live that life. I find it hard sometimes to talk to some of my family members about God's Word because I know the type of life in which they're living, and I know that they can change, but from all things that have been said and done, they're not willing to change. So when they become children of God and they continue to do those things, I know what my responsibility is to them according to God's Word. I can't associate with them anymore. It's sad that people have gotten themselves into a position where they just don't want to do what God wants them to do. The condition of the lost. He says the latter is worse than the beginning. They are so far gone. What does that last part say there? Listen to what Peter says in verse 22. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. That dog, have y'all ever witnessed that? That a dog, he goes out there and he throws up and he turns around and he licks it up. Have you ever seen that? It's true, it happens. If you've never seen it, you don't want to see it, but it happens. For that pig, you know, there's a man that walks a pig down Broadway. The pig name is Duke. If that man washes that pig, now 9 times out of 10, the pig lives in his house, but ugh. If he washes that pig and he goes out there and he makes a mud puddle and he lets that pig go out in his backyard where that mud puddle is, you know what that pig is going to do? Actually, it's a little bit bigger than the pig now. It's ready to be chopped up. He's going to go and he is going to wallow in that mud. You know what that man's going to do? He's going to wash him down again. He's going to take him in the house. But if he let him go again, he's going to go back out there and he's going to wallow in the mud. That is what happens when we play with sin. When we have given in to temptation, we're just like that dog licking up the vomit. We're just like that pig going back out there after being washed, getting back in the mud. We have been cleansed by the blood. But yet, we throw it up in the Lord's face. Thank you, but no thank you is what we're saying. And you know what he is saying? Keep on. Your day is coming. You know what I say? Everybody's going to have their day in court. Yeah, every dog has his day. We're going to have our time standing before God. And if we are found to be full of guilt, if we are found guilty, our home is going to be in hell. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 in the verses 5. Revelation chapter 2 and the verse is 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Unless you repent. See, repentance is important. For that man that has fallen away, repentance is important. We have to help him all that we can. We have to know his condition. The only way we're going to know his condition is that we know what the Word of God says and we understand our condition. Then we can help out the next man. But when we fail to look at our own condition, when we have done the things that are against God's Word, and when we have, go back up to verse 4, thinking what the Bible says here in Revelation 2, verse 4, but I have this against you, that you abandoned the love you had at first. You abandoned it. You let it go. There's many houses here on the West End that have just been abandoned. People have given up on them. They'll quit paying their mortgages. They'll quit paying taxes. Those houses have been abandoned. Our lives are the same way. When we give up on God, it has been abandoned. We will quit thinking about what God can do for us. And when we think about those things and we quit doing those things, we're going to find ourselves condemned. We're going to find ourselves demolished. We're going to find ourselves cast into the lake which burns with fire. If you're here and your condition is lost, we want you to come back to the fold this morning. We want you to confess your faults unto God. We want you to confess your faults unto others. And we want you to get your life right. If you're here and you're a child of God and you are lost, we want you to come back. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. We want you to become one. We want you to give up that life of sin, and we want you to start walking the way God wants you to walk. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is that you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you immersed in the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. You cannot walk a new life if you have not become a new creature, if you have not put Christ on through baptism. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.